It is good to see everybody here this evening. It's been such beautiful weather. I understand we're supposed to get a little bit of some kind of a weather that's going to drop the pressure down. So I may be on crutches next week. The last time our pressure dropped down like that, I was just reclining in a chair and got up, and both of my knees gave out. And I mean, they just both gave out. I ended up calling the knee doctor and setting up an appointment, which I later canceled. But it was that serious for me to call and set up an appointment with any doctor is almost greater than an act of Congress. And so, anyway, we have been enjoying a lot of beautiful weather. We've been very blessed. But more so, what a blessing it is to be able to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ that we share this hope of. I appreciated Dave's prayer. Aren't we thankful that God wants us to be with Him forever? It's an incredible gift. We're talking about faithfulness this morning, and we're going to continue in that this evening. But isn't it easy to be faithful to God when you think about what He's done for us? I know it's hard for some people. I don't understand that. But you just think about the teams you have rooted for through the years, or the people you have liked been around. But you just think about those they call fans or fanatics. Usually they find a team that they really like, and not only is it easy for them to follow that team and to be loyal to that team, sometimes it's not easy to get them to do other things when that team is playing because they find it so pleasant to follow that team. I don't know that we need to gather and shout and do the wave when we get together, but I do think there needs to be some sort of a draw that is powerful because we serve a loving God. There needs to be maybe not a fanaticism about it, but there needs to be an absolute draw. And that's what faithfulness is all about. And so we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, well, not 2, excuse me, in 3 John chapter 1 and verse, 3 John is chapter 1 and verse 1. If you go to chapter 2 in 3 John, let me know about it. We'll study it next time. 3 John, verse 1. They think this was written probably towards the end of the Apostle John's life. And it kind of reminds you of an older gentleman who has an affection for the people. It kind of reminds me of my father-in-law his last few years, where he would invite people over to his house, and he would just so savor them. He was so concerned about their souls. And he wanted to make sure that they were okay and focusing on the main thing. Don't you know that the Apostle John was that and more? The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. We want to talk about this connection to faithfulness as far as it being a walking with God or a walking in the truth. I'm not sure that there is a better way to describe faithfulness than to actually walk with God and to walk in His ways. We have three separate occasions within Scripture where it talks about somebody walking with God. Some of them will be very familiar to you. And in Genesis 5, we're told that Enoch walked with God. He lived 65 years. He had his son, a famous guy by the name of Methuselah. And then for the next 300 years, we're told that he walked with God and that God took him after that, and he was no more. Enoch did not taste death. because his faithfulness was so great that he walked with God. And then in the very next chapter, you read about Noah. Of all the people on the face of the planet, Noah was the one that was considered righteous enough to save. And because of his righteousness, his wife was saved, his three sons were saved, his three sons' wives were saved. And we're told that Noah walked with God. And then in Malachi chapter 2, Malachi, if you go to Matthew and turn back two pages, you're going to hit Malachi chapter 2. In chapter 2, it begins by God rebuking the priests. Remember, the priests are descendants of Levi. But then he goes and he talks about Levi. And I think in this instance, he's talking about Levi, the tribe of priests at this time. So he's probably talking about a tribe and not the man Levi. Don't know that for sure, but just from the context, it appears to be that way. But either way, verse 5, my covenant with him, talking about Levi, was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him, life and peace. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. Just think about that, where God himself said he walked with me. It's that idea of ultimate faithfulness, that it's your life, it's your way of life. And again, I can't think of a better way to describe the faithfulness that God desires for us than walking with God. The next passage we want to look at is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And again, it's this theme of our walk with God. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32, Moses says this through inspiration. Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you will live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you'll possess. I think most people want to enjoy life. They want to prosper. They want to prolong their days. The way to do that is by being faithful to God. We think it's every other way. And there are some things that we need to do from a physical perspective that are just absolutely required. If a man will not work, for example, neither should he eat, is what the scriptures tell us. But if you want a good life, walk with God. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and prosper. In Isaiah chapter 30, we see that obedience to God has always been the only way. And this is one of the other parts of our walk with God, is it is often referred to as the way. And we want to point out that it's the only way to live if you're going to be faithful. Isaiah 30 and verse 19, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he'll answer you. Although the Lord gives you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you'll see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We don't have to wonder how to be faithful. God is very clear in his word. And if we're familiar with that word, whether it was under the old law, such as the people were under during the time of Isaiah, or whether it's those who are under the law of Christ, such as we are under today, we know what to do. There's a voice behind us that says, this is the way, walk in it. That voice is not a little voice in our head that we just follow whatever our imaginations are. This is talking about those who are familiar with the Word of God, and they keep it with them. And it is such that there's always that voice saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That's faithfulness. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 is one we look at quite often. But this again is talking about the way that we are to walk, the way we're to walk in. This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. and you'll find rest for your souls. When our kids were playing sports that I liked, I had my two older kids ran track, and I did not realize it was a sport while they were doing it. Now, when my youngest got to it, it was a sport, and it was fun. Couldn't wait to go to it. My two older ones, AJ played football, but his main thing with football was to go get injured to the point where we'd have to go to the doctor and spend money and sit out the season until basketball season, and he was well again. But basketball I loved. It was not a problem for me to go to the basketball games and root for the basketball kids. For one thing, I'd coached most of the kids on their teams, and so it was always something that I was wanting for them to do good in. Ask where the good way is. There's a good life that God has for us, and He has a way that is good, that is enjoyable for us, that it should be to where we can't wait to do that. And that's what He's talking about. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. We talked just a moment about those who eat the bread of adversity and who drink the water of affliction. We'll all have challenges to go through. But the idea that if we will ask where the good way is and walk in it, if we'll be faithful in that way, there will be rest for our souls. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 is right after Joshua has passed away. Joshua has been a faithful leader. Just before Joshua led, it was Moses. Moses was a faithful leader. But now Joshua has died. And in verse 10 of Judges chapter 2, it says, after that, whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, those who had lived with Joshua. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. I don't know if that was a failure of the parents or if this was a failure of the next generation to take it to heart, but it says they didn't know God. I cannot imagine it wasn't because they weren't introduced to Him, because they were introduced to Him. I think this was a heart problem. But this whole generation grows up that didn't know God nor what He had done for them. The Israelites, who said in verse 11, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their father, who had brought them out of Egypt. In other words, they discontinued their faithfulness. It would be like a married man going to another woman who is not his wife, or a married woman who is not going to another man who is not her husband. They forsook the Lord. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger. Think about that for a moment. Here, God is faithful to us. He's made every provision for us to do well. He wants us to enjoy life. And yet we can provoke Him to anger because we're not faithful. He goes on in verse 13, because they forsook Him and served the Baal and the Asherahs, in His anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Something for us to remember in our modern times, isn't it? Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as He had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of the raiders, yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Why did God sell them to their enemies? And the answer was, they stopped being faithful. They stopped walking in the way. It's the same for us today, whether we're talking about on an individual basis or whether we're talking about on a basis of a church or a community or a nation. If we forsake God, He'll sell us to our enemies. As a matter of fact, He doesn't even have to do that because we've already sold ourselves, prostituted ourselves, is the way He puts it. In John chapter 14 and verse 5, if you want to know how serious this idea of the way is, understand this. John 14 verse 5. or verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way." I can remember when Carolyn and I first got married, and we went to go see a movie. Shouldn't have seen it. It was about a man playing the role of God. It even had the Lord's name taken in vain in the title of it. George Burns played God, and it had the philosophy of modern men in Hollywood in it. There's a question that one of the men asked, supposedly God. And he said, "Is Jesus your son?" And George Burns answered, "Yes, he's my son." And then he said, "Muhammad is my son, and Buddha is my son." It's the modern "I'm okay, you're okay" philosophy that is ruining us. We want everyone to be saved, but there's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way." If we're not faithful to that way, we're not faithful. And we have to understand there is just one way. Isn't it a lot simpler? I really like it when I don't have to turn Garmin on, because there's just one road. I just go there. I find myself arguing with Garmin all the time, or whoever, whatever the name of that little machine is. That little machine is even aggravating to the point where it's nearly always right, but just enough it's wrong sometimes to make me feel like I can be right sometimes. But the way, there's just one. When you talk about an ease of being able to determine what we need to be faithful to, that's what God has done for us. There can't be anything that is simpler. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but when Jesus says, "I'm the way," we can find it. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, now we come to the point where we find out that this way that Jesus talked about was even the name of the church for a while. Before Paul became faithful to God, he was Saul of Tarsus. In verse 2 it says, if he found any there who belonged to the way, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. The way was talking about the church. In chapter 19, now in verse 9, now that Paul is faithful to God, it's interesting because it said some of them became obstinate when Paul was preaching to them. Some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. Again, the church was referred to in one of its names as the way. Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, when Paul is before Felix, "I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way." Verse 22, Felix, who is well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When we talk about being faithful to God and walking in a certain path, it's an easy one to find. There's only one. It's the way. And if we can just stick with reading the scriptures, we'll find out about that. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, "And Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures." Now he's probably talking about the Old Testament scriptures. There might have been a few New Testament letters written at this point. And in fact, part of the New Testament is referred to as scripture in some of the other New Testament writings. But at this point, he's probably talking about the Old Testament when he says he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew about the baptism of John. This next part I find really interesting. Instead of them standing up and just flaying Apollos in public, look what happens. It says in verse 26, "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately." He only knew of the baptism of John. It was not an acceptable baptism, but they invited him into his home and explained to him the way. They gave him a chance. And of course, after that, Apollos, who was a powerful speaker, became even more effective for God. But this idea of being instructed in the way of the Lord and being instructed more thoroughly in the way. Now, I realize that we have the full truth before us. Nothing needs to be added to it. But as we study and as we approach God, especially when we're first getting started, but even after that, the more we read and the more we study, the more thoroughly we become acquainted with the way. If we're going to be faithful to God, we're going to keep on digging in because we don't want to miss out on this great reward that He has for us. We couldn't bear it if on that final day we heard, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so we try and do everything we can. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." Again, this idea that God is faithful. And in chapter 32 and verse 3, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He." Keep that in mind. We have a lot of people that are really aggravated with righteous things. The state of Texas just passed a law that you couldn't have an abortion if there was a heartbeat of the baby, and people are just spitting mad about this. It's going to the Supreme Court on November the 1st. Keep this in your prayers. I think this will be something that'll be going in the right direction for the first time in a lot of years if it's upheld. If it's not, I don't know how many more chances God's going to give us. I don't presume to know. Don't get me wrong on that. But this is a big deal. People will be saved if the right decision is made. I've been interested to look at some of the signs. One of the signs I saw of those protesting Texas's evil law, as they look at it, was that abortion saves lives. Yeah, that was my thought. Is, well, how? And because it obviously doesn't. Satan's been a liar from the beginning. Satan's followers buy into the lie, and they're still buying into the lie. But again, Coming back to this, God's ways are perfect and just. He does no wrong. When God has laws, we don't have to argue with them. People are just, I saw another instance in Oklahoma where somebody was furious with the government for not recognizing their gender. I can't even remember what gender it was. I remember what gender it was. I just don't know what it means. they're mad at God, because God has created them male and female, and they don't like God's arrangement. And they don't like people who stick by God's arrangement. Part of being faithful is going to mean that we're going to make some people mad at us. We don't want to, but we cannot mislead somebody into thinking that God is not faithful, nor that His ways somehow are wrong or unjust. They're perfect, and we need to stand up for that. That's part of being faithful. Finally, well, let me read one verse before the last verse. Proverbs 28, verse 20. "A faithful man will be richly blessed." If you will be faithful, adhering to God's way, He's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you richly. Will you have difficult times? And the answer is, of course. Part of the penalty of sin is that it affects righteous people. There's also things in life that are just part of the test that have nothing to do with good and evil that we'll go through, and we need to be faithful in that as well. But if we'll be faithful, God will bless us. And finally, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Mark brought this passage up in Bible class this morning. But the ultimate in faithfulness is this. Jesus was writing to the churches in Asia, and He said this, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you into prison to test you. You'll suffer persecution for 10 days. There will be bad things that happen to good people. It's going to happen to the church here. But then He said this, be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you a crown of life." He's talking about being threatened with your life, and you need to be faithful even up to that point. But it also applies to those, to all of us, being faithful until the time of our death. But if we'll be faithful to God, we all make mistakes, and sometimes we need to come back and renew our faithfulness. But if we'll be faithful to God, there will be a reward, a crown of life. And then we're going to begin the life that God created us for, an eternal life. Invitations open this evening. If you have a need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?